This is HPR episode 2491 entitled, Some News with Phinux. It is hosted by Phinux, and is about 18 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, just a short little podcast on some recent-ish security-related news stories.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome, HPR listeners. This is a voice from the past, Phinux, and I thank you for joining me today. Yes, I know it's been a while, but you know how things are. So I thought I'd pop back and produce a few shows for the feed and see if there are any old voices or ears about that I used to podcast along with. But anyway, this episode is going to be a quick look over a few news stories from security that I found personally interesting. Really shouldn't take too long to listen to. It should be tagged not safe for work, but if it isn't, be warned, it probably won't be safe for work. I'm going to cover three stories. So firstly, I'm going to talk about CloudStrike and Sci-Hub. So this story comes from Torrent Freak, torrentfreak.com. And it's a quick discussion about Cloudflare has terminated service to several domain names of Sci-Hub, which is often referred to as the Pirate Bay of Science. The content delivery network provider was compelled to take this action in response to a permanent injunction the American Chemistry Society obtained later last year. While Cloudflare previously objected to similar requests, there is no sign of protest from them this time. So a quick synopsis of what the story really is if we remember back in the day, the late great Aaron Swartz was arrested for basically downloading a number of papers that are stored behind these academic white paper distribute. Anyone who's been in academia will know that your white paper ends up in some paywall thing that only academia can afford the license for, and thus your research is only available to the academia world. And ethically, there's some issues here. Firstly, all of this content was funded by public funds anyway. And secondly, it really shouldn't be third-party companies profiteering of public works. But that aside, there is a website called Sci-Hub, which my presumption is born out of what happened to the late great Aaron Swartz, who was arrested a number of years ago for doing something similar. He downloaded as many of the papers that he could with the aim of putting them online. He was arrested and treated as though he was some black hat hacker taking down the internet. And basically, in the end, he killed himself. After huge amounts of legal BS. Basically, he was guilty of checking too many library books out of the library. It seems that the American Chemical Society is unaware of the Barbara Streisand effect. So if they didn't want people to know about Sci-Hub or go and visit Sci-Hub, the worst thing that you could possibly do is actually try and sue someone over it, and especially not content providers. However, this is an interesting story because it is almost like nobody learned any lessons from Pirate Bay. And while it's going to cause a little bit of problems for Sci-Hub in a short period of time, it isn't likely to cause any problems whatsoever at all going forward. So, yay, free publicity to make sure that academic papers are available for everyone, but not through CloudStrike. So there's that story. And also, the next story I've got is just a little bit about Meltdown and Spectre. Interesting story, Meltdown and Spectre. Basically, Intel CPUs and AMD CPUs are completely and utterly fucked, at a lack of a better term. I'm not going to go to the ins and outs of what the exploit is, but so this story comes from Boing Boing, and it basically talks about 139 pieces of seemingly non-functional malware that exploits Spectre or Meltdown and are circulating in the wild. This week, AV tests sensors of sample of circulating malware that attempted to exploit the Meltdown or Spectre bug hits 139, up from 77 on January the 17th. The AV test CEO, Andreas Marx, not to be not related to Karl Marx, I presume, says that the different strains of malware mostly contained recompiled versions of the same proof of concept code released with the initial report on the bug. It doesn't appear that any of the exploits work yet, but it's clear that malware authors are working actively to exploit Meltdown and Spectre. And in other news, water is wet, and also we've heard that fire is hot. This is an interesting story for a whole host of reasons. So they found 139 samples floating around the web that trying to exploit Meltdown and Spectre. My guess is there's probably a lot more floating around that are functional, that are just not being uploaded to a VirusTotal or any of these other websites. Really, Meltdown and Spectre is quite annoying to me as an individual, because I actually feel that while they've guised Meltdown and Spectre under what's called responsible disclosure, what it really meant was they were able to give commercial advantages to certain companies. So while Google got to protect itself and its cloud services, and all their friends got to do the same, they didn't tell people like DigitalOcean. So while like Azure was protected, other organizations spent a long time trying to catch up. Also, my understanding in this as well is that Google themselves broke the embargo on responsible disclosure with the Intel bug, which caught everyone off guard. But on top of this, we also later found out that Intel had spoken to Chinese manufacturers about the bug while it was under quote-unquote embargo, but didn't notify a number of governments to such security issues as well. And Meltdown and Spectre is an incredibly dangerous exploit. So it's really interesting in a lot of different ways. I mean, I've always been very much against responsible disclosure, mostly because the people that do responsible disclosure aren't actually responsible. They're just trying to ensure that their product is safer than their competitors. And this is just another example for me of this going on. So it's an interesting story because I find it incredibly hard to believe that that there is no working exploit worm code out there. And the article doesn't say that, but, you know, if anybody is, you know, log monitoring and seams and so on and so forth, you'll probably see a sharp increase of automated scanning going on at the moment. A lot more than usual. I mean, there's always a lot, but a lot more than usual. So this is an interesting story. So make sure to be wary of websites. If I remember correctly as well, there should be a number of updates that you should definitely be updating anyway, but specifically in this case, you should be updating too. Last time I checked, my understanding was that only Windows 10 was going to be patched to Meltdown and Spectre. Of course, I don't know if that's true or not now. I mean, it was the case at the time. I understand that most Linux distributions have been updated now to protect them against Spectre. This is likely to see a degradation in the performance of your laptop, your desktop, your server. It's going to make things a little bit slower. But trust me, it's incredibly worth updating, without doubt. So the next docket, the next story on the docket is actually about Equifax. And a subject matter that's very close to my heart, which is third-party data breaches. So, long story short, Equifax, and there's no bloody justice in the world. And this is a story that came from Reuters.com. And basically, I'll read you the quick synopsis of the story. Anyone who remembers me from the past will know that I have previous for absolutely destroying people's surnames. So let's start as we mean to go on. But Mick Mulvaney, head of the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, has pulled back from a full-scale probe of how Equifax Incorporated failed to protect the personal data of millions of consumers, according to people familiar with the matter. Equifax said in September that hackers stole personal data it had collected on some 143 million American citizens. Richard Corday, then the CFP director, authorized an investigation that month, said that former officials familiar with that probe had looked into it. But Corday resigned in November and was replaced by Mulvaney, who was the President Trump's budget chief. If that doesn't fill you with confidence, I don't know what will. The CFPB, which is the Credit Finance Protection Bureau's effort against Equifax, has spluttered since then, said several government and industry inside sources, which is code for yay gossip. Raising the question about how Mulvaney, with the police and data warehousing industry that has enormous sway over how consumers pay to borrow money. I mean, long story short, Equifax is a credit ratings agency. They collect a huge amount of data on individuals. If you are getting credit in the US and a number of other places in the world, I may add, my understanding is the Equifax breach affects, for example, 25 million citizens in the UK. However, this company was compromised, and their whole incident response to this is absolutely shocking. So they hold data on people's credit card history, on purchases, on a whole host of things. They were compromised. It took them, my memory serves me, between 3 to 6 months to notify people that this big warehouse of data, this big data tracking technology that we have on 143 million American citizens has been stolen by hackers unknown. It took them, like I say, a couple of months to notify anyone in accordance to this. On top of this, what was also incredibly interesting was the CEO of Equifax, who has now resigned, also sold shares in Equifax once he found out about the breach. He actually did that. So that's kind of interesting. But what's doubly horrid about this whole fiasco is that Equifax really, really treated the data that they collected with little to no respect. So call me old-fashioned, but you can't call it an advanced attack technique when the reason that you were compromised is that you were two versions behind on your updates for your Apache Stratus servers. Knowing that there had been two critical vulnerabilities in that time. So, you know, obviously they had little regard. My understanding was is they also tried to blame the one person who was responsible for updating their real estate for this problem, when clearly it was a when you're holding that type of data, you might want to invest. So now my understanding was the whole of the Equifax board had to leave as a result of all of this. Now, look, this data, as far as I understand, is not on the open market just yet. And this isn't to say that it's not on the dark web, but I haven't seen anything such as this. And I do work with third-party data breaches all the time. But when this comes out, this is going to be incredibly brutal. And this is really a case of capitalism gone mad too, because Equifax's answer to this is now they wanted to sell products that would protect you against identity theft, which is hugely ironic that the company that made you more riskier towards identity theft is going to, you know, sell you a product that will protect you against identity theft, which is absolutely crazy. And I have no doubt that there'll be more on this story going forward. But like I say, it is critically important that Equifax, at the very least, are investigated so that the tales of this story can at least we can benefit from. Because if we're all about to get screwed by something like this, it is important that we have the tales to tell our defenders, so that we know where mistakes were made and how we can make sure that things like this don't happen again. So I'm going to wrap up on this story, but yeah, they're the three stories that I talked to you today about. So just to recap, I quickly spoke to you about Sci-Hub. I also spoke to you about MacDown and Spectre, and I also spoke to you about Equifax. But yeah, I would wrap the show up. I'd like to thank you again for all joining me. If you have any questions or feedback or anything like that, as Linus Torvald said, please feel free to email me. I'll feel free to ignore it. But you can get me at podcast@finix.co.uk. And Finix is F-I-N-U-K. And until the next episode, I wish you all a good day. Cheers now. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.